Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Good morning. This is Jillian Morrissey, the Public Information Officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District, and I am here in the studio with our superintendent, Dr. Monica Goyette. Welcome, Monica.
Welcome. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I know you had a late night last night. You were at the assembly meeting, so I really appreciate you coming into the studio early this morning and share a little bit with us. So the reason why we have Dr. Goyette in the studio this morning is that it's almost March. We're getting close to spring break, and it's amazing. The light's coming back, and it's that reminder that we're getting through the push of the year here. We're getting close to the end, and this is a really nice time to sort of pull back. We've been talking about preliminary budget and just do a big overview of where we are as a school district. So I want to remind callers that we actually will take your questions on air. So if you want to give a call, it's 745-8900, and we will, Dr. Goyette can answer your questions. So let's start with just sort of a big picture about enrollment, Dr. Goyette. Where are we today with our 2017-2018 enrollment right now?
So our enrollment projection this year, we had projected around 300 additional students and ended up with about 160, which as we move forward then with projections, for next year, we're projecting 19,040 students, which is about 70 students more than what we got this year. So what we're seeing is that growth is continuing in our Mat-Su borough, but it is slowing down. We have had years where we've had 3% growth in student enrollment, specifically between the 15 and 16 school year. But as we project out, our growth is about 0.5% for the next few years.
So we are slowing down. So we're seeing that trend.
That's correct. And interestingly, what we're noticing for people that are coming to our community, about 2/3 are coming to us from in-state and about 1/3 are coming from out-of-state.
So I think I've learned, I think you call some, is that transient, student transient?
That's correct.
Okay. So really what it is, I've heard some of the demographers talk about, we're seeing that. We're seeing the folks coming from villages in rural Alaska and coming into more of on their own system, but they're not always coming to Anchorage. They're coming out here to the Mat-Su. Interesting. Excellent. Anything else about future projections or enrollment that trends we should be looking for?
One of the trends that we're noticing is a increase in our poverty rates. We've increased over the last decade by about 1/3 in our poverty trends, and really believe that that's in part a reflection of the state fiscal crisis. We know that there's a lot going on in our community with opioid crisis and mental health issues, and believe that that poverty trend reflects that. And when students live in poverty, not always, but often, they have higher needs. And so we're seeing students come in with more social emotional needs and just basic health and well-being and safety needs. So that is always very concerning to us. We want healthy community has healthy children in it. And so I think that as we're moving forward, we're continuing to really increase our partnerships with our local agencies that provide great services to kids like Mat-Su Health Foundation, United Way, our opioid task force, and really are strengthening those partnerships to make sure that we're doing a great job of meeting the needs of our kids that are coming in.
It was really great last night at the assembly meeting to hear from teachers how much work they're doing to, I believe you all as educators talk about that Maslow hierarchy of needs, and they're talking about meeting those needs, plus then they still are trying to do those academic standards. So that was really, it was really wonderful listening to their testimony last night. I was hoping we could switch gears a little bit and talk about something that I know the school district is just really proud of, and that's our choice. We are a district of choice. We talk a lot about choice. And I feel like one of the things that we can always push to do more of is get the word out about what that actually means. So I was hoping you could help take us through some of what choice is in the district.
I think the best way to tackle that is kind of look at it by level. So I'll talk about the choice options that we have in elementary, middle, and high school. And at the heart of this, we believe that parents are their first child's educator. And with that comes then the educational philosophy that best aligns to their family values. And so at the elementary level, we, of course, have our neighborhood schools. That is our strongest model, our most popular model that we offer. 60% of our families go to their neighborhood schools. And we also have a very robust and very strong charter school offering throughout the district. We have immersion programs. We have one-room schoolhouse philosophy where kids can be in a classroom with their siblings for multiple years in a row. And we have a Waldorf philosophy. So we have great choice there for our families. And many of our families across the levels, of course, choose homeschool. And homeschool has really evolved over the last several years into a blended model where kids are coming in throughout the day and taking courses on a topic of their study. Maybe it's in music, technology, or art. About 11% of our families choose Matsu Central, and another 4% choose Twinley Bridge. So about 15% of our families choose homeschool, and most of those are in a blended model. And some of those are enrolled in faith-based schools for half the day for their core curriculum that's aligned with family values. And then they access homeschool or go to our traditional schools for marching bands and career and technical education options. And so we are very proud of those options.
Can you tell me more about blended? And when I first came to the district, that was blended learning just kept coming up, and I wasn't totally clear on what that meant. And I know it looks different in the district. Could you help me understand that?
Yeah. So blended learning is really an instructional technique in which there is some instruction delivered in a brick and mortar school, a traditional model it can be teacher directed or student centered, but it is certainly facilitated by a teacher. And then a portion of learning is facilitated through technology. And really, the online learning choices have expanded so rapidly and so greatly in terms of choice in which kids can access that we cannot keep up with the demand on how many options students are looking for. And for example, in high school, 1/4 of our high school students will take an online learning course each year. Mm. And we do have two options that we're growing at Sherrod Elementary and Kinnick Elementary, in which parents can come for part of the week to do at-school learning, and then part of the week they help facilitate their students' learning in literacy math at home with a one-to-one device.
I just wanted to remind all of our listeners out there that Dr. Monica Goyette is here in the studio with us. And she is here to take calls if folks want to call in. So the number here is 745-8900 and call with your questions about the district and we will take those calls. So let's keep going with some choice just because I feel like this is something the immensity of choice in the district is just it blows me away sometimes just thinking about how much we have. So one of the things that I've seen is going to Matsu Central and looking at homeschool is completely different than what a lot of people perceive. I have folks who will call the public information office and, you know, they've traditionally homeschooled their children in another state and now they're moving into the valley. And I start telling them about what they have. And I honestly, Dr. Goyette, they'll be in tears sometimes hearing about the options that we have because it's a struggle for a lot of families. And I was wondering if you could tell me how maybe that's evolved through the district and how we've got to where we are now with homeschool.
So when we started with choice, our first iteration of choice was allowing families to choose the individual school that they wanted. But as we got better at that, we really looked at choosing the programs and down to the course that you want. So one of the things that have really opened doors for our homeschool families, and I think has grown enrollment is the dual enrollment opportunities that we have. So a homeschool student could choose to do, let's say, literacy and math at home with their parent as their primary teacher. And then they could choose to go to a traditional high school for some AP course offerings and then go to maybe our career and technical for a career pathway course. And so it is not uncommon. 350 students are dually enrolled in our district. They go to more than one school. That does come with some commitment for transportation. We do have limited transportation, especially at the secondary level, but we really want to open our doors and allow families to really choose a la carte what they want from schools to put together really the best recipe for success for their family. And one of my favorite ways to know that this message of choice has gone out is within an individual family when different students have chosen different paths. You may have one student that is attending their neighborhood school. Maybe another student is going to Matsu College, where we teach. It's over at Matsu campus, and students can earn high school credit and their associate's degree at the same time. And a third student might be homeschooled or at a charter school. That's when when we differentiate within families on choice, then I think we've done a really good job of getting our message out about what the options are in the Matsu Borough School District.
So February is Career and Technical Education Month, and we're getting towards the end of that. But one of the big pushes that I know the CTE department is trying to get out, that the message that, yes, we do have Career and Technical High School. There is a brick and mortar school that is focusing on different career paths, but there's also district-wide programs. And so I was hoping you could help us understand a little bit more about the CTE programs that the district has.
That's correct. And right now, career and technical pathways are open for students, and you can choose to go to a school for a career and technical education. So, for example, welding is a very popular CTE course in our district. Usually a welding classroom is 10 bays. It is a very expensive classroom to build, so we don't have it at every single one of our high schools. And so students can travel to other schools where that is offered. It's the same thing with our emergency services that is over at Career and Tech. You don't have to be a full-time student to go there. You can go there part-time for their emergency services, vet tech. And so there's a variety of options throughout the district. Our JROTC programs are incredibly popular. We have Air Force at Wasilla High School, and we have Army at Colony High School. Many students, there are Palmer students that just recently marched in the color guard for the school board that were from Palmer on the Colony High. So we can't offer every program at every school, we do want to open up those program options across the district.
I love that. I love the fact that you can have you can be a student at Colony High and still you can take a bus and get somewhere else in order to get the instruction that you're looking for at, if it's at Wasilla or even at Palmer High or wherever it may be. I love that we have that choice and those options.
And I think, you know, one of the great outcomes of choice is buy-in. Buy-in in supporting your teacher, buy-in in supporting the curriculum that you chose. And I think that's why we're seeing our graduation rates go up 9% in the last 6 years. And I really attribute that in large part to opening up the options and really allowing parents a lot more control in that.
Tell me more a little bit about that, because one of the things that I've realized is that with the personalized learning, with choice, is that the district is starting to look at how we can meet a student where they are. And so if they're struggling with a traditional brick and mortar, then we are finding another way to success. Is that why we're seeing graduation rates rise?
I think that we are offering a lot more options for students to find success. So, for example, if a student graduation at the high school level often comes down to the graduation requirements within credits that a student must have by state law and by borough school board policy. And so if a student is struggling in math, we have a variety of different options for them. They can do online learning with a coach in the classroom. They can do summer credit recovery. And they can also, we are starting on really working on having more career and technical education classes count for those math credits. For example, statistics and accounting count as math elective credits. So we are really working on trying to find expanded opportunities for students to be successful and not just a narrow path on what it looks like to the graduation.
This is Jillian Morrissey. I'm the public information officer for the Matsubara School District, and I'm here in the studio with Dr. Monica Goyette. And I just wanted to remind callers that if you want to talk to Dr. Goyette and ask a question, just give us a call at 745-8900, and we will take your call online. I want to go back to graduation rates. Can you do some of the stats for that? What is the trend that we're seeing here in the district?
Yeah, so over the past 6 years, our graduation rates have gone up from 72% to 81%. And I think that that is really because of the systems of support that we're putting in. And one of the things that is new this year that I think is going to increase our rates that are going to continue to go up, I believe that we can be in the mid-80s, is that every ninth grader, we are looking at district office, looking at accountability on that. And if they come out of their ninth grade year in credit deficiency, every single one of those students is going to have a plan towards graduation. So in oftentimes in their junior and senior years, when we really start targeting and focusing on summer school recovery, online learning and those things, we are bringing that down and really focusing on that prevention to credit deficiency.
Excellent. I want to talk a little bit more about some statistics. You mentioned about our poverty rates rising, and I wanted to go back to that, but just because I feel it's so important for our listeners to understand what schools are experiencing. And not only that, well, we've been looking at graduation rates and the academic success, but just the compounding factors that make that to show those statistics and that we're rising is really a huge success. So can you talk a little bit more about those poverty rates?
In 2002, our poverty rate in the district was 31%. In 2017, it is 42%. And as we look into the upcoming fiscal year, which we is 2019, we're adding three new schools to receive targeted funds because they have reached a threshold of a certain level of poverty. Those schools are Cottonwood Creek, Thielen Middle, and Wasilla High School. And I was at Thielen Middle School for 10 years. I've been gone for about 7 years now. And when I was at Thielen, our poverty rates were in the 20s.
Wow.
And low 30s. So now they're above 45%. So I think what we're seeing is that really our community is struggling right now in terms of being able to maintain their families above the poverty levels. And that when families are living below the poverty level, there's tremendous amount of stress and burden that occurs in the home. Sometimes there are added impacts of maybe mental illness or substance abuse. And all these things the students are walking through our front doors with. And so we are seeing an increase in needs of our students. When in Finger Lake about 10 years ago, we had a magnet program for students that needed extra behavioral support. Today, almost every single one of our large elementaries has a behavior support program. And these are students that need to be explicitly taught how to regulate their emotions, how to read the emotions of other people, and how to make good personal choices. And so whether or not society believes that that's the role of schools, the reality is that we have to address these needs if we want them to learn literacy and math. If a student is sitting there not feeling safe, very angry, acting out, there's no way that they can attend to the lesson. So we absolutely have to meet those primary needs before we can meet our academic needs.
It's that reminder that our mission for the school district is to prepare all students for success. That's our job, K-12 education for everyone.
Well said.
This is right now, the superintendent's position does a lot of work for advocating for our school district and getting out there, talking to our legislators and elected officials. And I was hoping you could spend a little bit of time talking about our local and our state funding cycle.
So right now we are we have done a preliminary budget in which we have identified it's a rollover budget. So really, if we were to maintain all of our services from last year and move forward with increasing salary costs, increasing energy costs, and increasing insurance costs, we have a $7 million deficit. So during the two school board meetings in March, we will present to our school board a balanced budget, which means that we have to identify $7 million in reductions. And then the beginning of April, April 3rd, actually, we will be before the borough making a request for funding that is driven by the school district. We are required by law to submit a balanced budget to the borough. It is our hope to find out from the state in April what our funding might be, and from the borough in April or May. Right now, we are assuming flat funding from both the state and local level, which are contributing to the $7 million deficit.
So one of the things that I get a lot of calls about, parents who are paying attention, they're watching what's happening in Juneau, they're paying attention to what's happening here in Palmer with the borough. And the question is, how can they get involved? What can they do to help support the schools that they love? Many of our parents are just really proud of our teachers and our principals and what's happening. So how can parents get involved?
I love this question. And I want to tell parents, and I tell them, it is more important from elected officials to hear from you than it is for me. It is assumed that I am going to advocate for education funding passionately and solely for education funding. And so as a citizen, when you say that education is a priority, it is within context of all the services that the local borough and the state provide to you. So it really does hold more weight. And it is not just speaking in, of course, coming to meetings April 3rd. We would love to have community members and teachers and parents come and talk about education as a priority. But written testimony is just as effective. And so emailing your local elected officials and emailing your delegation and letting them know they are, I work with these folks every day, and it is really important to them that they reflect the needs of the community. They want to do that. And so it's important that if education is a priority, that we let them know that, because I'm confident they will be responsive to that.
Great. Thank you for that. And if there are any folks who have troubles finding some of their elected officials, they can always call the Matsubara School District Public Information Office, and I can help point you in the right direction of who your elected officials are. So 746-9251 is the phone number to call for the PIO office, and I can help you find that. We're getting towards the end of our time here, and one thing that I wanted to share is that if we have folks that are listening in on our rebroadcast on Friday, that we aren't taking calls then. But if you have any questions, always feel free to email me at jillian.morrissey, or at, even better, pio@matsuk12.us. And I can get those questions to Dr. Goyette, and we can try to find some answers for you. So thank you, Dr. Goyette, for coming into the studio today. And we really appreciate having you. And thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's always fun to share all the great things happening in our Matsu schools.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Matsu schools. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.